One man, one need, to hear the world's newest and therefore best music podcast. You're listening to the Christopher Walken Approved Down the Front Podcast.
I don't approve of this product.
Down the Front Podcast, coming soon. Right now.
It's so silly. Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Podcast number two.
Number two.
I'm excited. I feel that we're...
just copying what you're saying.
Yeah, why are you copying me, big weirdo?
Yeah, I don't know.
I just feel we're going to find our groove now.
We're going to find our groove,
yeah. We've had our practice session.
The last time we were just dicking around. This is for realsies.
For realsies.
We've lost every listener we didn't have.
So how have you been, David?
I've been great. How have you been?
All has been good.
Yeah?
Yeah, all has been really good. Thank
filling
you.
Filling your life full of music?
Always.
Yeah.
Don't you do the same?
Yes. Well, usually then. Just singing to myself. Lyrics I don't know.
Lyrics you don't know. On a loop.
On a loop, just like...
Amazing. So good. But talking of music, there is something I need to talk about. At the beginning of our podcast, we have that 10-second amazing riff that we have going on.
We do, yes.
And that is done by the most awesome band, Baleful Creed.
Yes, was it Illuminati track?
It is. It's the third song off of their first album called Illuminati. And we've cut and shut it into our podcast because they very, very kindly allowed us to use it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. It's a really cool riff. Great album as well, so
they're great lads,
they're great crack, as the Irish would say.
So if you haven't heard of them, go check their album out. Awesome, awesome stuff. They're in the recording studio at the moment producing their second album, which hopefully will be coming out over the next few weeks, couple of months. So that'll be something good to listen to as well, hopefully more of the same. So all good. So thank you very much, Baleful Creed. We really appreciate you being so kind to give us one of your songs.
Yeah, thanks guys.
So, David, what are we going to talk about this week?
Oh, you know, bands. A lot of tours being announced.
We've got Guns N' Roses.
Yep.
Which is just going to be incredible. It's one of those bands I think everybody needs to see just to tick it off your list. So
yeah, so somebody was telling me that they saw Guns N' Roses like years ago, like 91 or something like that. And it was, I think it was the original lineup or the Use Your Illusion lineup or whatever it was. And they were disappointed. They were like, I've spent ages, you know, building this up. It's going to be great. And Axel was a bit of a diva, as he was back then. And they were like, yeah, it's shit. So hopefully this time around it'll be...
Well, I think on the back of his tour with AC/DC, where he was getting a lot of flack about that and people saying it wasn't going to be good. And the people still went along and I still heard good things about him and people were surprised. So hopefully if he's, you know, he's changed a bit, then maybe back in with Guns N' Roses, it's going to be a different kettle of fish with that one.
Yeah, I think so. I haven't seen anything negative about, because they've been touring, haven't they? They've done stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I haven't seen anything like, oh my God, Axl was doing this or, you know, whatever. I think it's all gone great. So, absolutely. If you can get to see them. Go. What dates are they playing?
I think they're doing two dates, aren't they? In June the 16th, 17th, at the London Stadium. So
get your ticket.
Are we going to go? I think we need to.
There's a poke shit in the woods. Allegedly.
You can't use the same gag every single week.
Same gag.
you are. So yeah, we'll try and we'll go to see that. And then hopefully we can do reviews on that as well. So that'd be
awesome.
It will be awesome. Who else have we got announcing tours?
Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah.
On tour. They play Birmingham's Genting? Whatever the fuck it's called. Arena.
Yeah.
Which is good. I've been there. I saw Fleetwood Mac there last year. And it was fucking awesome. So they're playing Birmingham tonight. And then Sheffield, Manchester, Nottingham, Cardiff. And finish up in London's O2 Arena on the 21st. And they've just played Newcastle and Glasgow. And... with In Flames and Disturbed, that is going to be...
That's an incredible lineup.
Yeah, because Disturbed obviously are back together and gaining a lot of good news and good support wherever they go. In Flames' new album, Battles, is making new fans and losing old fans. I liked it. And obviously, Avenged Sevenfold's album is fucking awesome, which I reviewed. And you can find that somewhere on the Gig Gals page.
For those of you who don't know, we also run at the Gig Gals. That's GIGGALS. And that's where we put all of our music reviews, where we'll review live gigs, we'll review albums, EPs, that kind of thing. So check us out on there as well if you like reading reviews. Have a look at some of the gig photos. There should always be lots and lots of activity on there from our team. So that's a good thing to go check out.
And we've got a fucking awesome team, haven't we? They're a great bunch of guys.
Yeah, that's the thing. We've got guys involved with the Gig Gals page as well. So it's an incredible team, absolute passion amongst all of us for music and live music and supporting new bands. So we're out every week all over the UK. We take photos, we'll write the reviews. So the content is continuous on there. So please check us out on there and give us a follow or a like. And hopefully you'll find something interesting.
Yeah. Do it now.
Do it now. So, but the Avenged Sevenfold, jumping back to that, that's incredible lineup. Avenged Sevenfold, I used to listen to years ago, back in sort of around 2006-07, that sort of time I used to listen to them.
Yeah,
really great. I've always heard really great things about them. Disturbed, another band I've absolutely adored ever since I've started listening to them. And yet it's a band I've still yet to see live. That was a good impression. Well done.
That's brilliant. I love that. Wow.
So, I need to see them. It's definitely one I need to tick off my list.
Yeah, and In Flames, I think they've just lost a member recently. I say recently, like November. And I think there was a... They're getting a lot of flack from people, In Flames, lately. Because, you know, the internet, you know, full of well-adjusted people.
Like us.
Like us, right? Just giving them shit for like, you become a hipster poser band. I like old In Flames, and because you're releasing new music, I can't possibly go back and listen to the old album because now they're dead to me. So fucking grow up. So, you know, I like Battles. I think it's a fucking good album. But I haven't listened to In Flames for ages. Went through a period of listening to all their albums pretty much back to back, Clayman, and you know, all that good stuff. And I liked it. And it is, you know, it has got a kind of a newer sound that's going to appeal to a mass audience. But it's good. Check it out. From what I have heard, they're really good live as well. So I think you're getting three top bands there.
Definitely.
So, go and see them now.
I think we should. Let's get tickets.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay. Who else have we got? We've got Kiss.
Kiss. Oh,
Kiss.
Yeah.
Now, again, another band that... sometimes I don't hear amazing things about, so I'm not sure what it's actually going to be like. However, I'm still going to go because I want to say I've seen Kiss.
Absolutely, and it's possibly going to be one of the last times that we might be able to. And I've heard rumours that they might try and get Ace back in the band, and Peter, but I don't know if that's going to happen, but that would be cool. But yeah, they're definitely like a bucket list band. You're saying about Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
You know, if you can see Kiss... great. They put on a fucking show, don't they? They put on a good show, and I just think they're fantastic.
So we're gonna go and see them on their tour. I think we're gonna catch them in Birmingham.
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're doing four dates across the UK in May. They're doing May the 27th in Glasgow, the 28th in Birmingham, 30th in Manchester, finishing up on the 31st in London.
Gonna be awesome. Where are they playing in London?
Wembley. Is it Wembley? I'm guessing it is Wembley.
I'm sorry, Stewie. I didn't realise you had joined us. They're playing in Wembley. Maybe they're playing in Wembley. Maybe it's the O2 Arena. Maybe they're playing in the...
I spend my life listening to you do Stewie impressions. It's going to rub off eventually. Thanks, David.
Thanks. Well, I should have... you know, you've gone through all the dates there and made me look like a chump. So I'm just going to... I'm going to jump back to the Avenged Sevenfold tour a minute and just say that they're in Sheffield Arena on the 15th of January, Manchester Arena on the 16th of January, Nottingham Motorpoint Arena on the 18th of January, the Cardiff Motorpoint Arena on the 19th of January, and they're playing the O2 Arena London on the 21st of January. Please continue.
Do you feel better now you've got that out of your system?
I do, because I am making you, or letting you, make me look like a sucker.
It's always going to happen.
It is, yeah.
It is, yeah, get used to it.
With my pity likes on Twitter.
Another band I want to talk about, UK band called Piston.
Yes. Yes.
Now, I've seen these guys a couple of times and they absolutely blow the roof off of wherever they are. They are incredible live band. Incredible.
I haven't seen them.
I know. You are missing out, let me tell you. But yeah, they are doing a gig. Yes, they're doing a gig on the 30th of this month, January. So they're doing a gig in the 100 Club, which is on Oxford Street. So for those who haven't been there, it's this tiny club. It's quite exclusive little place. So it's really small, downstairs, dark type of room sort of thing.
Cool. Sweaty.
Sweaty. We like those places.
Yes, I love getting sweaty.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with sweaty gig venues because...
Absolutely, because your pint never empties. It fills up.
Exactly. And if you're trying to get down the front, you're all wet and slippy and you can just slip through the crowd.
Are we still talking about a gig here?
Yeah, you are. It means I haven't got to rely on my elbows punching people out of the way.
Or I'll smash. Yes, I like to get wet and slippy down the front. What are we talking about? Down for a podcast, also a porno. May not have happened.
So we've already got tickets for that.
We have. It's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Because you keep banging about how great they are.
They are great.
I like hearing that. I like hearing your excitement about bands because it gets me excited. And I'm like, yeah, let's check them out. Go team. And then we do a chest bump and a high five and a fist bump. And it's all great. And I love it.
It's all great. Yeah. So yeah, definitely I love Piston.
When's the 30th of Jan?
30th of Jan.
Oh yep. My God.
Couple of weeks away. I'm so excited.
Me too.
Okay.
Feel these nipples.
You're so weird. Okay, so that's Piston.
Cool. Who else is coming? Tom Petty's coming.
Woohoo!
For one fucking show in the UK. They play at Hyde Park. It's July the 9th.
When is that? Sorry?
July the 9th. It is some venue that I can't remember.
Hyde Park?
Hyde Park. I just said it. Yeah, fuck it. I don't know. So Tom Petty's playing. It's going to be awesome.
I know. You're so excited about seeing him.
You're like, oh my God, it's Tom Petty. Like, who's supporting him? Oh my God, it's Stevie Nicks.
Now, I've not seen her. I know you've just... We were chatting a minute ago and you said you have, but I desperately want to see her.
If you can go, she's awesome. She's just been doing a solo tour with the Pretenders.
Yeah.
She's got Chrissie Hynde, you know, kind of a rock icon, I guess, as well, and Stevie Nicks. And they've been blowing the roof off every venue, apparently. And Stevie, yeah, I saw her with Fleetwood Mac twice, about 10 years apart, really. Saw them on the Say You Will tour in 2003, and Christine wasn't in the band, so it was just the four of them, and that was amazing. I saw them twice. I saw them like 3 days apart. I saw them in Birmingham, and then I saw them in London, like, yeah, 2 or 3 days apart. And then I saw them in 2016. No, I didn't. I saw them in 2015. When Christine had come back. So it was like the Rumours lineup in full. I fucking marked out. I was like, oh my God! Fucking awesome. So Stevie Nicks live is great. So if you can see her, amazing. I've seen and heard Tom Petty, like live videos and whatever, and they're a class band and they got some great songs. That is going to be an awesome gig. They're also supported by the Lumineers. Whatever. Not going for it. I'm sure they're great guys and I'm sure they're a great band. I've heard some of this stuff, I think, but for me, as soon as I saw Tom Petty supported by Stevie Nicks, the rest of the poster could have said, for free money, call this number. Don't give a fuck. Those two are awesome. And that means as well, with Stevie supporting him, she's going to be probably singing Stop Dragging My Heart Around. There's so many other, you know, duets they do. I think she's done Need to Know with them as well, and it always sounds great. So I'm excited. It's going to be good. So July the 9th, Hyde Park. I would say buy tickets, but don't, because then I won't be able to get one. So
don't buy tickets until you've got one.
Don't buy tickets until I've got tickets,
yeah.
And then go nuts.
I think that's fair enough. Fair enough.
It's one show in the UK. It's going to be fucking awesome. Tom Petty, Heartbreakers, Mike Campbell, one of my favourite guitarists.
I think you might be a bit excited.
You think? I don't know what gave that away.
No. Okay, so 9th of July in the diary. I was thinking as well, after we did podcast number one the other week, I was having a little think and I was thinking, you know, we didn't really explain who we are, what we do, not that we're anybody important, because we're not, but people don't know who we are. So I thought it might be a good idea for us to explain why we like music, how we got into music, and how perhaps we ended up developing what we're doing now. What do you reckon?
I think that is a splendid idea.
Of course it is. It was my idea.
Ah, well, there we are. It's the best idea in the world ever, clearly.
So, for me, I've always adored music ever since I was really, really young, absolutely passionate about it. Played the piano, did other instruments, sang badly. But I just love music, love being around it all the time. And that's just kind of developed over the years. Got into rock music, metal music when I was about 19 and then never went back. That's just kind of carried on developing. I think Rage Against the Machine was the first one that kind of broke myself into. And I just,
oh, wow.
It was a good one. It's like that teenage angst thing to us screaming and shout, you know, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. So yeah, that's always a good one to play a teenager. That's how I kind of started getting into rock and metal and that kind of thing. And then just gigging over the years. And this year I've started gigging a hell of a lot more. I met some amazing people and some fantastic friends. And that's just kind of how it's all kind of developed, I suppose. And on social media as well. I mean, that's how I met you, found you, or you stalked me.
Selective walking, I told you.
It's a great thing. And like with social media and you're able to share that passion with other people and stuff, I think that just encourages it to develop even more. So that's kind of how it happened. Then Gig Girls came from that and we developed all of that. And then obviously from that, we've then developed the podcast and numerous other projects and things around that. So that's how I kind of got into music. And I'm so passionate about new music, live music, supporting new bands. And that's how the Gig Girls was born, just to create a wider platform, basically, to support new music, because it's difficult for bands these days. And there are so many people, especially with, you know, the age of the internet and everyone can get their stuff out there. The competition is just ridiculous. So they need backing in every way you can. So you need to go to gigs. You've got to buy tickets. You've got to go see them. You've got to buy the merchandise to help support them on whatever project they're up to, and that kind of thing. So yes, basically just trying to create a bigger platform to promote new music, support the bands, support live music. The end. That's all I have to say. You may speak now.
That was a party political broadcast.
Okay, let's hear about you, David.
Well, kind of same as you, really. Like, I've had music in my life all my life. Just remember Sundays, my mum playing all her vinyl stuff and Beatles. So any other thing really, like 60s, 70s. Like really cheesy 80s shit as well, which she will not thank me for saying, but whatever. You know, so it's just been part of my life for years. And then, you know, in high school then, we had this kind of Welsh explosion of Stereophonics and the Manics and Britpop, of course, around the same time. So you had exposure to, you know, kind of indie and rock stuff. And then I think 98, was I 15? And I was introduced to Fleetwood Mac, and that just changed my life because they're fucking awesome. And then from there, then just started with the internet, helped greatly, because you're saying about, oh, there's so many bands, but it actually allowed me a platform to develop my musical taste. Mm-hmm. Well, I would, you know, as somebody that likes listening to music and new music, what I was doing then was I was checking out bands that I'd never heard of. So if I like, say, Fleetwood Mac, for example. And I would find out, oh, well, okay, if you like Fleetwood Mac, then you might like these bands. And I would develop off that. And then I got into rock and harder rock and metal. So I listen to a hell of a lot of different music. And I just love it. I just love checking out new bands and finding out about bands that I've never heard of. And also going back to bands that like I may not have liked, like so Korn and Limp Bizkit, for example. I never really gave them a chance when they came out. Kind of went back to them and was like, oh, actually, yeah, they're pretty good. And Fred Durst is crap, but you know they're really good. So music's always been in my life. I'm in a band, Falling Nine, so I like that side of it as well, the writing, the creating, the recording process, and been doing that for a while. And then obviously I got on board with Gig Girls, writing reviews, album reviews. Check them out because apparently they're great, so say other people. And obviously then got involved with Down the Front and all the other little pies that we have our fingers in currently. So that's me. It's just been music is all, you know, we always have music in the house one way or another, radio, TV, say vinyl, CDs or whatever, you know, and my musical taste just developed from there, really.
So that's you.
That's me. All about the music. It flows through me. I've always said if I went deaf, I don't think I could handle it.
No, I agree with that. I just couldn't cope. And like for me, I don't put the telly on. It's always just music in this house, like constantly. I can't get enough of it. From the minute I wake up, it's on until I go to sleep. It's just constant.
Yeah, kind of the same. Just I have to have something on just to, and it could be something that I haven't heard for ages. It could be something completely new. I'm playing Volbeat a lot lately. Went to see them back in November.
Not only are you playing Volbeat, you are continuously singing Volbeat on a loop.
Yeah. The same bit over and over again just to annoy you.
Yeah. And it doesn't annoy me though, because I think Volbeat are awesome. Loved them when I saw them. Yeah.
They're fucking awesome. And so it's just I've just gotta have music playing.
Yeah.
It's like my life force. I need it.
It's all good.
All good, yeah, it's all good.
And you've obviously mentioned there that you're in a band, Falling Nine.
Yes, Falling Nine. Follow us on Twitter @falling_9.
And for those that haven't heard Falling Nine, what kind of music do you do?
We do melodic rock music, to be really vague about it. As I said, I like lots of different music, so we have a bit of a melting pot of influences there. And so I think, our kind of staple would be really hard rock music, but with melodic vocals and catchy hooks, I guess, over the top. So, melodic rock, I think, kind of sums us up pretty well. We're currently working on finishing up an EP called Atonement, which is us essentially stripping it all back. So it's mostly acoustic based, and but there's some, there's electric instruments in there. It's just more of a stripped down version of what we do. So if you want harder stuff, our most recent release is Sustain and Release, which is heavier, and that's kind of what we do best, I guess. But we'll write anything, it's fine.
And if people want to listen to Falling Nine's music, you can go on SoundCloud and search for them, Falling Nine, and you'll find their EPs and their album on there.
Yeah.
And it's great stuff. I love listening to it. It's really good
stuff.
Thank you. You're welcome. Yeah.
What's your favourite song?
I have too many. Far too many.
They're all my favourite.
Fear, I absolutely love.
Yeah.
I Regret.
Three Chord Wonder.
Yeah, Three Chord Wonder. Wasteland.
Love that one.
Love
that. That's a Four Chord Wonder.
There we are.
Yeah.
And Nightmare. I love that one.
I like that one.
But yeah, Fear, I think, is probably, and I Regret, are my two favourites at the moment.
Okay.
But yeah, but they're all really good,
Thanks.
I don't tell you often, but you are a talented guy.
Ah, you never tell me at all.
You can pay me later. So the band that we've been speaking to this week are called Under a Banner.
They are. Very good band. Very talented band.
Yeah. And we saw them for the first time live back in December at Rockstock, which we spoke about.
Just over a month ago now. Jesus.
Yeah.
It's gone quick.
It has gone really quick. So they were an amazing band. We really like listening to them. So we caught up with Adam this week, who plays guitar and does lead vocals for the band, and we've interviewed him, which we shall be playing for you soon. But I just wanted to talk about Under a Banner a bit, because the style of music that they have is, it's not unique, it's obviously been similar before, but it stands out at the moment amongst the other bands that are out there. So it does sound different. It does have that unique sound because it's not like the others currently.
Yeah, we touched on this last week with our Rockstock review. They stood out quite a bit because they were different style of music to a lot of the bands that were playing there. And they do have this kind of political edge to them. There's an agenda, I guess, with their lyrics.
It's very anti-establishment, isn't it?
Very. And, what they described as like hard rock, alternative, folkish. And I think, I touched on with Falling Nine, this melting pot of influences. They have that too, and you can hear it. You can hear the different elements of what each member brings to their songs, and it all gets wrapped up in a neat little package. And it's very good. Their recent album is The Wild Places, and it's a really good listen. So
they're phenomenal lyricists, and I wrote a review about them after Rockstock and said they are the intelligence behind them, and I like that. It just adds a whole other layer and depth to their music, but the passion that they perform with is just, I love that. You get behind that straight away, and they're just so poetic with what they do.
They are, yeah. And some bands you just kind of listen to and the lyrics are just there, and you might sing along to them, but you might not give them much thought. But with this band, Under a Banner, you kind of resonates a little bit with you, I guess, doesn't it? Just they stick with you Yeah, they do it really well. They're a really good band, and they are also on a UK tour coming up, starting in April.
Yeah.
If you can catch them on tour, I recommend that because they are very good live.
And I think the tour kicks off on the 7th of April in Barnsley.
That's right. Yes.
I think they're covering Nottingham, Manchester, Wolverhampton, Hereford, Stoke, Derby, London, and then they're finishing the tour up in Bristol on the 30th of June.
Yeah, so a good decent tour there. I think we mentioned it in the interview that's going to come up now, but the venue in Barnsley, I think is it Rock and Blues?
Yeah.
But they're having a refurb and they're changing the name, so it'll be that venue, but it'll be under a different name. So.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Don't get confused. Check that out.
The thing I get as well through both watching Under a Banner and after talking with Adam a couple of days ago, they don't seem to either be or want to be part of that celebrity culture. I think that comes across quite strongly. They're quite anti that culture. And so for me, they bring across like a punky edge to what they're doing as well. And some of their songs do have a punky sound to them, but it's that whole ethos behind all of that, I guess. They're just anti anything that is like the big social movement like that. And it's with the fakeness. Yeah. They're not fake. They're a very real band. And it's... Yeah, I like that. It's raw.
Yeah, it'll be interesting actually to see what happens if they become bigger.
Yeah.
Because once they become bigger, they're part of that machine.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can still be... Can you be anti-establishment when you're supporting the establishment?
I don't know. Answer that question. What do you think? Do you think that's something that, you know, you can have those beliefs and those morals or whatever you want to call it, but do you think once you do become part of that machine, you're going to have to go back on that a little bit to play ball?
I think, yeah, there has to be some compromise there. I mean, you've had people in the past kind of, you know, obviously signed to big labels and kind of rally against that. You know, we mentioned Tom Petty. He, I think it was back in like 80, 81, the record label released their album. I think it might have been Hard Promises. And they whacked a price tag on it. I think it was like $8.99 or $9.99. And he was outraged. He was like, that's ridiculous. And he waged a one-man war to basically get the price changed.
Yeah.
There's that, I guess. So he's part of that establishment, but he's still going against it. So I think, yeah, I think you have to have some compromise with that. But I think you can do it. I just think one term I fucking hate, is when you see people saying, oh, this band's selling out. It's like, no. To me, selling out is when you go against your beliefs to make money.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know, whatever. But and it's like, well, you don't know what their beliefs are.
Yeah.
So, you know, like say Metallica releasing the Black Album. Oh, they're selling out. Yeah, but only they know if they made that album because they knew they were gonna sell many million copies and become megastars. If they just went, oh, these are the songs that are coming out, that's it. You know, Green Day, American Idiot, they sold out, they're not playing Dookie. Fuck off. Sorry,
you've gone off in a rant there. I apologise, listeners.
That doesn't sound like me at all. What was the question? What did I have for breakfast? Sorry, go on.
No, you may finish.
I'm finished.
You've finished? Are you sure? There's no rant left.
No, there might be a little bit of rant left, but we'll save it for later. But no, I think, I think they are very anti-establishment and anti... Would you say they're anti-mainstream?
Yeah, I guess, you know,
Cutting like the Kim and Kanye and all that shit, though. But, it'd be interesting to see what they would be like then with a bigger machine behind them. Because that then gives them, I guess, the platform to spread their message.
Yeah.
But at the same time, playing ball a little bit.
Yeah, getting that balance.
Yeah, I think, yeah, going back to the selling out thing.
Yeah. But they're a great band. You've got Adam on vocals and guitars, Jake guitars and backing vocals. And then that guy is great on a guitar.
Yes, yeah, he's fantastic.
His fret work is just amazing. So I like watching him. You have Simon playing the bass. He's great as well. Loved watching him. Tim on the drums. Great drummer. And you have the lovely cat on keyboards.
Yes, yes.
Which I always love listening to, obviously being a piano player myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bless.
My daughter randomly told me that she wanted to play the recorder.
Yeah.
She said, I think I can play the recorder. I just was, oh, okay. What?
Everyone loves recording playing. Recorder playing.
Can't recording speak. Playing.
Why am I catching your problem now? I can't speak today.
Were you drinking last night also?
No. That was just you.
Yeah, Jesus.
So, okay, let's play the interview that we had a brief chat with Adam.
So we're here with Adam from Under a Banner. Welcome, Adam.
Hello there.
Hello,
morning.
Hello.
Afternoon, whatever.
Afternoon, non-time specific. Absolutely. So for people that may be foolish enough not to have heard of Under a Banner, can you briefly kind of sum up who you are and what you sound like for us?
Yeah, so we're a five-piece alternative folkish hard rock is how we normally describe it, but people have come up with other genres or combinations of genres in the past. We try to blend lyrical meaning and depth with a bit of rhythmical power and texture where possible. I don't know whether you're going to ask the influences question at some point later.
We may.
I'll leave that till then.
Okay. But it is such an interesting blend of sounds. I say, when we saw you at Rockstock the other day, it was you could place you in so many different genres and types of things. So it was fascinating to listen to because I say you do hit so many different things. So it's good.
It's like a big melting pot, isn't it?
Yes.
Of influence.
Yeah, we have a variety of contributing influences, I guess. I'm the kind of folky, alternative rock guy. Pretty much everybody except for Kat loves metal, myself included. less out and out, straightforward rock, although, you know, I like a lot of that too. So the influences are very varied, but as we said, we'll leave that till later.
When I wrote the review for you the other day, I was saying about your lyrics, because I'm always fascinated by lyrics and things, but I really like yours. The anti-establishment type of lyric that you go with is fascinating. And I think as well, with like the current climate, the way people are at the moment, do you find that you're gathering fans quicker because of the way your lyrics are, and it's kind of ties in with the way that things are generally at the moment in public?
I think in short, yes. And also some of the company we've begun to keep as well helps with that. Later in the year, we'll be playing with the band Ferocious Dog, who are kind of overtly political. We've played in the past. We've supported New Model Army. We're going to be touring in the spring with Headsticks, who are also quite overtly political. And as you rightly point out, the current climate is an uncertain one.
Yes.
To put it mildly, and we're very much coming lyrically from the left, not hard red left, but we have visceral responses to what's going on. I think people pick up on that.
Yeah,
I'd say so. Yeah, absolutely, because it comes across. We were just listening to the Wild Places album this morning, and it's awesome, by the way. You kind of get that kind of message across quite well with your lyrics, and it comes out more in like the punky sort of songs, which I guess would make sense, really, wouldn't it? But no, I thought it was great. But you mentioned there you're going on a UK spring tour next.
Oh, yeah, we are indeed.
It's kicking off in Barnsley, is it, in April? 7th of April.
I believe so.
Have you got the venue tied down for that yet?
Yes, it's the venue name is actually going to change, and I'm not sure when, but it's the Rock and Blues venue currently, if people want to search for it. I don't know what its name is going to be, though.
Ah, right, okay. Because I was looking at that going, weird, but that makes sense. And then you're hitting, where are you hitting? Nottingham, Manchester, Wolverhampton, hometown.
Yep.
Hereford, Stoke, Derby, London.
That's right.
And then finishing up in Bristol?
That's correct, yeah.
So it's a good few dates there. Looking forward to hitting that with Headsticks?
Oh, absolutely. And it's a double headline tour as well.
Oh, cool.
Obviously, we can't be on the stage at the same time, but we'll be sharing the later spot, as it were, alternately at those gigs. Where they're more northern and eastern, probably Headsticks will take to the stage last. The Midlands and southern gigs is probably where we'll do that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. A lot of bands are doing that now with kind of almost double headline or co-headline tours and then splitting who goes on last. I think it's really, really cool. Gives bands the same time, really, which is great.
If we jump back to talking about your influences and things, so who are the sort of bands that you've listened to? Okay. What kind of got you into this?
People like New Model Army, The Levellers, to a lesser extent, Manic Street Preachers. Big Cure fan, almost from childhood, really.
Yeah.
Lots of folk. I also really like metal, as does pretty much everybody else in the band. Big fan of Tool and The Perfect Circle and people like that.
Nice.
Tori Amos, Joni Mitchell. And a few foreign language bands too. There's a Franco-Flemish band called Ambrosian that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
Many are the influences there.
I think though that comes across then in your own music, doesn't it? You can definitely tell that you listen to a wide range of music.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if you've spent a long time listening to one band in particular and you're a massive fan and you try and ape and replicate what they do, you'll miss out on a whole host of other influences, really.
Yeah.
So the more eclectic the palette from which you can paint is, then the more interesting the output, at least we hope.
Absolutely. And like Naomi said, it does come across that you do have this melting pot of influences. I think it's great that like yourself and the rest of the band are so open-minded to listening to different kinds of music. For me personally, kind of some of the bands you've touched on, I'm exactly the same boat as you. I've found that with the internet just opening up a massive, massive door for me to check out bands that I would not necessarily have heard of.
Absolutely.
Do you think that the internet and kind of social media has been good for music, for your own band, from your own personal experiences as well? Or
ultimately, yes. Principally because the networking part of it, although we've rallied against that in lyrics in the past, is very, very helpful. You can get in touch with like-minded people and build those networks up and get people to gigs who would otherwise not have heard of you.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is the important thing, isn't it? Getting them to the shows.
Yeah, I mean, when we first started out, I thought, oh my God, you know, using Twitter a lot and Facebook, I was discovering 6 or 7 bands a day and was convinced that we'd get lost in this huge basket of bands.
Mm.
But, you know, we've managed to play enough support slots and festivals and play with the right people to start to crawl out of that basket, if that's the right expression.
No, absolutely. And I guess one of the downsides then of the internet would be that there are so many people in their bedrooms creating music and there's so many things out there that you kind of get lost in that shuffle. And, you know, it's great to see that you've kind of broken away from that, really.
It's
great. You recently played Rockstock, Treco Bay, with Planet Rock. How was that for you? Because I know you were coming off the back of a cold. How do you think that went for you?
I think it went pretty well. Under the health circumstances, it was quite difficult to sing as I normally do. Probably made the mistake of writing things in a very high register and made it difficult in that condition to sing them. But yeah, we made a few new fans and friends over there, so it was worthwhile.
Brilliant.
I think as well with the festival, like you're saying about how you can get lost in that mix of so many bands and things, I think for us, that was our first time at Rockstock.
Mm.
And there were quite a lot of bands that ended up sounding very similar. And it was so refreshing when you guys came onto the stage because you were so different.
You.
So you really stood out for us and grabbed our attention straight away because you are not like any of the other bands that played there that weekend. So I think that was a great thing for us.
Yeah, cheers. I mean, we're not out and out rock, are we?
No.
We're not folk either. We're not even folk rock. We try, as we've already said, to draw in a number of influences. So, hoping to appeal to people in different areas of taste, that is.
Absolutely. And I think it went down really well because we were saying before with Rockstock bands, like, they all sound kind of similar. You could pretty much ask them who their influences are and probably pick out the same 5 or 6 bands every time you spoke. But then when you guys come on, you've got this melting pot, you've got this kind of metal kind of thing going on, but over the top of that you're strumming the acoustic and there's some just pulling from everywhere, like alternative folk and I heard the Tori Amos influences in there. I got a very piratey vibe. I remember saying at the time, I was like, have you heard of the Scottish band Ailstorm? They kind of,
yeah, they like Ailstorm.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
It's just like, they're like a folky Ailstorm. Like, they should be singing about pirates. It was great.
We do sing about drinking quite a lot.
Oh, there we are. So you're halfway
it's
there.
Quite large, but people do say you're right about what you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, it was such a good set. We really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was. It was brilliant. And your voice didn't, to me, sound like you were struggling. So, yeah, top marks for that one, I think.
I think we were saying that, though, weren't we?
Like a choir boy.
We were saying we need to sort out coming and seeing you at another gig where we can see you do a longer set. But yeah, no, it'd be great to come and see you guys
absolutely,
again.
Absolutely, yeah. I want to catch cool. that for sure.
So what's next for Under a Banner?
Right, we will continue to push the new album, The Wild Places. We have, as we've said, the spring tour with Headsticks. It's a great combination.
Yeah.
We think we work very well together genre-wise. They're not entirely sure which genres they encompass either, and are happy to be sitting in that position. So that works quite well. We're going to be supporting Ferocious Dog, TV Smith as well.
Mm-hmm.
The punk guy in Stamford. A few other gigs hither and thither, which people can check the website or Facebook page or Twitter for. No current plans to return to the studio, although new material is being written all the time. What we do want to do, in actual fact, is just secure a few more high-profile support slots so we can reach more people who will get us.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a stepping stone, isn't it? Just
yeah.
step at a time. Yeah, absolutely. That's yeah. great.
Oh, and new merchandise as well. New T-shirts, new everything.
And people can obviously get all of that through your website?
They can indeed, yeah. In terms of the music and merchandise, you can go to Bandcamp, search Under a Banner, or all of the links are through underabanner.co.uk.
Okay, and you're on Facebook and Twitter as well, and people can find you
there? We are indeed, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Twitter, at Under a Banner, nice and simple.
Excellent.
That's what we like.
We like the simple things.
Yeah.
So no, that's excellent. So we really wish you well for the future, and you know, we can't just wait to see you guys again and see you do a longer set. And you know, we were saying about how you weren't well last time, but it didn't for us, we didn't notice that. So it would be really great to come and see you again when you're not poorly, and then just you know see what happens.
Tighter trousers.
But great band, refreshing, different. We love it, and that really stands out at the moment. So, good stuff.
Good stuff.
Thank you. So, no, great talking to you.
Yeah, thank you for taking the time to chat with us.
Thank you. Bye bye. Well, that was the interview with Adam from Under a Banner. Really nice guy. I say, really great band. Hope you enjoyed the interview. Check out Under a Banner, and we'll be playing numbers at the end of this podcast. So, stay tuned for that.
Yeah, I like the way we're chucking these songs on the end of the podcast, so it gives people a chance
great,
to listen to it.
We're
awesome.
We are lovely.
We haven't stolen that idea from anybody.
No.
No.
Shut up.
But it's nice, though, because I mean, the amount of times I've tuned into things, listened to interviews, and people talk and try and describe the music, but you don't actually get to hear it all the time, so.
No, and also, as well, like, if it's tagged on to the end of the podcast, people are likely to just listen to the last 3 minutes of the podcast as well and just go, oh, I want to listen to this song, rather than go, okay, podcast finished, must have been an awesome episode because it's us, and what was the name of that band they were interviewing, what was the song I need to check out, I'll forget about it.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, we're providing a platform, we're supporting these bands, and we're, you know, getting free MP3s. I mean, we're getting music to put on the end of our podcast.
So all is good.
All is good in the hood. But we touched on like social media and stuff in the interview there. And you kind of touched on it as well earlier on. You're saying about bands, you know, having that platform now and there being so many people out there making music and you know, the competition. Cream does rise to the top. And, you know, these bands will get the exposure because, you know, they're playing live, they're playing well, they're getting the, you know, they're getting that social media following. Do you think social media then for bands is a good thing? Do you think?
I don't know. It's hard. I think it's a difficult one for me to comment on because I'm not in a band. I don't have music, so I don't know directly how that affects bands. You know, but from my point of view, I think social media is a great thing because you know, I love new bands. And like years ago, you know, you used to have to be queuing up at the shop on the Monday morning just by the singles that you'd heard on the radio the night before. And that you're kind of limited to what was you could find because it depended on what was played on the radio. There was no other way really of finding it when I was a kid, yeah. You know. So like now on social media or, you know, you go
well, the internet didn't exist when you were a kid.
No. I'm so old. We're only 17 months older than you, you plank. But you've got, you know, you've got the music streaming sites like Spotify and that kind of thing. And yeah. When they've got the thing, you know, like, oh, you like this, then why don't you try these? Because they're really similar. And that's where I find, you know, most of the other bands that I listen to. And for me, as a music listener, that's just phenomenal because it feeds that hunger that you have within you to keep listening to music and to keep finding new stuff. And like, you're never satisfied. You always want more and more and more. And it's like, it's never ending. So for me as a music listener, the internet, social media has been a fantastic thing. And, you know, and not just for finding the music, but for finding people who also like that music so that you can then go on there, chat with them, you know, and you know, you're creating friendships that way. And it's so, yeah, for me, it's a great thing. But, you know, from the other point of view, I'm not sure whether that's a good thing or not for bands.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the internet, obviously, and streaming, I know there's a big thing with Spotify and probably others as well, where royalties are not getting distributed fairly. And I know there's songwriters that have had massive number ones and multi-platinum selling albums that they've been involved in. And they've had like 4.5 million plays and their royalties are like nothing. And, you know, and this is their living, you know, their job is to write songs and they're doing it very well, they're getting successful, but they're not seeing the benefits of it financially, which is a shame. So that side of it, I think, can hurt because obviously with piracy and everything like that, bands then are losing out. And you know, records don't make bands the money. It is the touring and the merchandise, and that's why, you know, you should go to gigs, you should buy the merch and show the support because that goes directly to the band. But I think the function of, you know, hey, you like this band? Check out this band. I think that great. And for people like me and you who just crave new music and absorb it like a sponge, that's fantastic. And that's, we touched on earlier, that's how I found out about a lot of bands that I consider like my favorite bands now, because the internet went, you like this band, check out that band. I went, yep, you tell me what to do. But I do think that there's, with the, you know, the fact that anybody can just get any old music software now, run it off a laptop, or, you know, Christ, you can even do it on your iPad or your phone now and record and get stuff out there. It's great for people to get their music out there, but there's also a lot of shit you have to wade through. You know, not everybody is fucking talented and can make good music, unfortunately. Yeah. Although, with music being subjective, there's going to be something out there for everybody. But yeah, I just think what I like about the social media aspect is the engagement. You get some bands that are, you know, they run their own Twitter or Facebook account. So when you comment or like or retweet or share or whatever, you've got that personal interaction with the band. Mm-hmm. I think that's great then for developing, especially what we're doing in terms of supporting new bands. We're kind of getting in on the ground level. And you get that almost like a swell of pride when you see them climbing up the ladder.
Yeah.
Which I love that. So I love the social aspect of social media just because of that engagement with people, you know. And I've had it a little bit with Falling Nine, where people have come to me and gone, oh, I really like that song, it's great, blah, blah, you know, and you have their interaction, and it's fantastic. And, you know, to have somebody come to you and say, I really love your music, it resonates with me, that's great. Mm-hmm. I love that. And because, you know, essentially you're creating it for yourself, but it's touching other people's hearts. You know, you know, I love that.
It's good. And, you know, I think you're right. You know, you get in on the ground level with a lot of these bands now through social media, and you almost establish friendships on some level, you know, with these people. So you kind of, you're more inclined to say, oh, I need to go to that gig because I need to support those guys because I, you know, I've spoken to them. They're really lovely, you know.
Absolutely.
Or I want to go and buy their merchandise because that means it's going to enable them to carry on and do more things. And I want to see my friends do, you know, better sort of things.
That's where bands can be really cute and really clever. Because if they, it might be false on some level, but if they have that interaction with people, the more people then that they do that to, and obviously it takes a lot of time and effort, the more people they engage with, the more people that will go, oh, so-and-so is my friend now. He's in a band. I'll go and support him.
Yeah.
And they're getting tickets and merch and everything. And then those people are going to go retweet, share, check out my friend blah 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 band, then that's gonna, you know, it's like pay it forward, isn't it? You know, you share to five people who share to five people, and it grows. So, you know, there are some bands that just won't talk to you, or they won't engage at all. Some of them are big bands, some of them are not big bands, and you just kind of like, it doesn't change how I feel about them. I'm not like, ignore me, you prick. But they do. They don't have that engagement, and you're kind of like, well, I'm going to support you anyway, but you could do so much more.
No, it's true. And I think, you know, for me, like, where I listen to so much music, I talk with so many different bands.
Yeah.
The ones that engage with me stay in the forefront of my mind. So I will probably listen to their music a lot more, you know, than the ones who don't communicate with me and that kind of thing. And it's not because I don't not listen to them because there's anything wrong with their music. I love their music. They're fantastic. But because there's no engagement, it doesn't always put them straight in my head. There are other bands that will push their way to the top of the list, if you like.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, and it is. And, you know, and a lot of the time, like, these bands don't even have to message people or actually communicate. Just liking someone's tweet or something, you know, something like that can mean the world to a fan.
Well, absolutely. And the way Facebook is set up now, like, give you a quick example. I forgot somebody existed, not in a band, just somebody I went to school with. I forgot they existed and were friends with me on Facebook because I hadn't seen anything they posted. And then I came across them. I was like, oh yeah, I remember you. Clicked on their profile page, and they hadn't been inactive. They were posting multiple posts every day, but I wasn't seeing it because I wasn't engaging with them.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden they just drop off the planet.
Yeah.
And that's why engagement on social media, you know, on a personal level and on a band level as well, is so important. Because if you're not messaging back your fans, like you say, out of sight, out of mind, they're going to drop off the radar.
Yeah.
You know, and if you've got something to push, if you've got something to share, and you want your Facebook friends to see that, you have to engage. And that could be, like you say, a simple like, a simple little, you know, thanks, whatever, thumbs up. You just have to engage. And the Facebook band page is shit. Like, it's all about pushing posts and paying for it, which I have done and wouldn't do it again. Getting all these people from fucking Indonesia or something liking my band, which is great. I don't care where they're from, but they're not real people. They're click farms.
Yeah.
But they like a post. They like the page. They put engage. And then you're seeing, you know, I think we've got about 920 likes on Facebook, and you'll post something about four people read.
Yeah.
So, fuck. You know,
but we're finding that with our own things, aren't we, through Facebook and stuff. And, you know, I don't like the way it works. You know, it's like everything's like, I don't know, money for this, money for that, we'll do this, we'll do that. And I'm just like, nah, I'm not doing it.
It used to be like, you just go on there and post, and people would see it, and it would just come up in someone's newsfeed. Now you have to select, you know, the pages tab to see the pages you like.
Yeah.
It's like, no, just bring it up. And I don't tell me what's the most important. And, you know, just show me the most recent. Like, that's why I like Twitter in a way, because you can just go through chronologically. And I'm sure that'll fucking change at some point. But, and that's why I used to like MySpace, because that seemed to be more of a platform for unsigned bands.
Yeah.
And you'd have that social engagement there. Does Facebook own MySpace now? Somebody owns it. Murdoch, maybe. And now you've got fucking Rihanna plastered all over and Katy Perry. It's like, I don't need to know about Rihanna and Katy Perry because they're on everything. They advertise everything. They've got like 80 million fucking followers. Where's your Under a Banners? Where's your Pistons? Where's your Falling Nines? You know, where are these other bands?
I think that's the thing, you know, rather than...
Rant
number two. Rather than paying the money to have your post, send them an emoticon or just something.
Absolutely.
Because that's free advertising for you, because if they're happy, they like your music, they're excited because you've just messaged them back, they're going to go out and they're going to freely advertise your work out to other people and hopefully gain you more fans, which will hopefully get you more tickets sold, more merchandise sold, and, you know, it's...
And then they can pay us a cut for giving them this great advice for free.
I mean, I'm sure, like I say, there's a lot of bands these days to that kind of thing. It's, I think a very small thing can go a very long way where a fan's concerned.
Absolutely, and, you know, it is the digital age, and social media has become very important in a lot of ways for just getting daily news, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, they do need to engage, and it is an important part. You can't just go out and record an album and play a gig, because people need to know about the gig, you know? And they need to know about your album. Why should I listen to this album?
Mm-hmm.
You're right? But it's your album.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll check it out because you liked something I did, or you know, appreciate your fans more.
Yeah.
Do it more.
Do it more.
Do it more. Do it now.
So it's all good. It's all good. I think with anything, there's positives, negatives, aren't there? So you got to do what works for you at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And if it works, why change it?
Exactly. All good.
All good.
So anything else to add today, David?
Not really. No, just listening to music.
You're very ranty today.
I do you know what I am? I'm very ranty today, yes. What should I rant about now? Listening to new music. I've got some reviews coming up that I'll be doing, the gig and album stuff. We'll be kind of recording Falling Nine stuff, writing new Falling Nine stuff, and obviously recording more podcasts for you, you lovely listeners out there. So yeah, keep checking out new music. And
also, if you like listening to rants, obviously, continue to tune in to at DTF Pod, because he's not going to stop.
I do like a good rant in a moment.
Because you're a miserable old man, that's why.
That's not... Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, it's totally true.
But I like to laugh so much.
Ah, love you really.
I love you too.
So, people, that's podcast 2 done, dealt with, in the pocket, as David says. So, social media wise, you can go to Facebook or Twitter and follow us at DTF Pod for Down the Front Podcast. So give us a like on there or follow on there. You can also check us out at The Gig Gals on Facebook and Twitter. So if you like reading reviews, you like looking at photography from gigs, that kind of thing, then that's the site to check out from there. And we will usually share content between those two places anyway. So please give us a follow. Please give us a like. And more importantly, please come back next week.
Like, subscribe, share, tell your friends about at DTF Pod. Because the more people that listen to us, the more people I can rant to. And everybody loves a good rant. We're going to let Adam from Under a Banner now play us out with one of their songs. So here he is. See you next week.
See you later.
This is Numbers from... our second album, Close to the Clouds.
Ancient Savior.